What's your least favorite thing about working with me?
Is this a safe space?
And just like that, we are back from our break, people. Yes. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Sincerely Your Crowd podcast. Should I say the first episode of the year 2025? Of course, I know. Oh, you guys have gone. It's a long time. Do you know that we are reaching the end of February? Hey, what is going on? Have you stopped? If you stopped, let us know. Hey, you people are dramatic. We are dramatic. Adding. You call yourself a sincerity, an ardent listener and follower of this podcast, and you don't know our timeline, our timetable, our schedule by now? But anyway, it's fine. It's all nice. You know, you're on your break, and every time you go onto Instagram and everything, people are your DMs and your comments asking you to come back. Ah, we feel wanted. We feel needed. We feel important. And so we are back, and it's another exciting episode of the Sincerely Crowd podcast. Yes.
I believe I can fly, I believe I can touch the sky. So many bombo clouds, it's not easy, I cannot deny. I'm gonna make the quality, I'm gonna make the cash, yeah. I'm gonna make the bad bitch, shake up the ass and dance, make that club go.
Welcome people to a new season. Yes, season 8 kicks off right now. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and far away that we are back. Yes, the people's favorite podcast, the nation's favorite podcast, everybody's favorite podcast. I can keep going on and on and on and on. It goes on and on and on. Oh my God. I have to get it all out, guys. I have not spoken to you guys in such a long time. You know, sometimes I'm just there and I'll just remember something. I'll be like, oh my God, when I get back, I'm going to say this. I just remember things and opinions that I have that I feel like I want to share with you guys. And I'm like, I'm going to break, whatever. Typically when the season is running, I'm like going to put it in the notes app and everything. But like this time around, I was really on a proper break, y'all. But anyway, I want to give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the GCR network, the number one podcasting hosting network. Another what? Yes, Hogana. And of course, I want to give a quick shout out and a happy birthday to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. Yes, it's Kwame's birthday. Come on, guys. Give it up. I mean, technically, if you're listening to this on Monday, it was on the 2nd of March. If you don't know, now you do. Put it in your calendars and make sure every year you're blowing it up. You know, showing him some love. For being one half of this amazing podcast that brings you joy, love, enthusiasm. Hey, what did I say? Enthusiasm. It is what it is, y'all. Happy birthday, Kwame. I love you so much. And thank you for continuously, encouraging me and pushing me. And also, just from the people to you, thank you for encouraging, you know, my crazy self so that we can do this podcast and bring joy everywhere. Uh-huh. Okay, guys. We're back. Let's get into things.
Yes, Miyako. Bless us, assurance, your lines. Jesus is on. Oh, Lord, the foot and glory divine. She all lost some fish, she ran in some gun. Run off his prayers. Worship his song. This is one story, this is one story. Oh.
What's up? Ooh, ladies, what's up? It's Kenny Paluta, what's up? Get on the dance floor.
I'm feeling the way.
Paluta, yeah. And I'm a team, Mr. Guy. And I'm a team, Mr. Guy. And I'm
All right. Oh, my goodness. So much has happened. So much has gone on. Like, I don't know where to start, but we're just going to get into it. Okay. All right. Okay. First of all, life updates. I moved yet again, guys. Yes, I know. I moved out of my mom's house 2 years ago and, I moved out again into a different apartment, same neighborhood. You just cannot get me out of DC, y'all. It's just, it's going to take a lot. But I think I'm going to save that story for another podcast episode because it was a very interesting and quick move. And, yes, it was because, you know, yeah, my landlady was moving crazy. And I feel like I want to tell the story because I just feel like one of the things that people never really tell you or that people never really talk about when they talk about moving out of your parents' house, living on your own and all of that, they never tell you what living in somebody else's property that is not your parents. They never tell you what is really like. We never talk about it. Landlords and landladies being so extra. Oh my goodness. Nobody really talks about it enough. It's crazy. And one day I'm going to tell you, but not on this episode, y'all. It's just like, but anyway, I just want to say I really like my new place, but there's just like one thing. Well, two things. The second thing is not really that bad, but the one thing I hate. So I live like right next to a soccer field, okay? And I remember when I came to look at the place, I was like, oh my goodness, I can just stand in my kitchen. And I also have a back balcony. So I'm like, oh, I can stand in my kitchen and watch them play football on the weekends. It's such a nice thing to do passive. You know, there's a lot of air on the balcony and everything. Little did I know. I mean, unbeknownst to me, in the evening, it becomes a prayer ground. Y'all, not, and listen, when I say prayer ground, you guys are thinking, oh, one church group. No, baby. No. 3-4 competing church groups are on this big ass field. One group has a microphone and a sound system. So like you can hear them loud and clear. And then there's like 3 other groups where they do not have a sound system, but one of them is really close to my kitchen. And so you can hear them very loudly. I mean, it's, oh my God. And it's from Sunday to Sunday, y'all. You go to church Sunday in the morning, you come Sunday in the evening, they're there. Like you, oh my God, it's crazy, yo. It's crazy. But you know, it is what it is. I'm just gonna have to deal with it. I mean, like when you're not in the kitchen, you don't hear them, so it's fine. But it's like constantly, like it's crazy. And what even cracks me up sometimes when I stand in the kitchen and maybe I'm cooking or something, I'm listening to like the preaching, the line, the rhetoric, the narratives, the logic. I'm just like, oh my God. Oh my God, what is that? What is that? Yo, you people are going through a lot. But anyway, moving right along. I'm sure by now some of you have seen, if you're on the internet, I was on the cover of the latest edition of the Emmy Africa Generation Now issue. I was on there with Gabrielle, Kitty, Jackie, Eniolua, and Kwame Aman. And guys, this was a very interesting experience for me. You know, like I have been on set directing shoots, okay? I've rarely ever been the subject of a shoot. Well, I did a shoot with my oh my God, I forgot the name of this photographer. Andrew, is it Angie? Yeah. That was a really nice shoot. We did it at Niapa's house in Spintex here. But anyway, this was a very professional shoot, guys. When they reached out and they said they wanted me to be on the cover. You know, I think the year before Cyril and Donald had been on the cover. And then they reached out and it was Chris Albert. Shout out to you, Chris. Thank you so much. Oh my goodness, he was very nice. The whole process was nice. So basically, they say, give us your measurements. And that was that. Okay, well, they told me to bring shoes. So, you know, because, you know. But they just gave me, and I pulled up, and it was like a whole, shout out to you, Chuchu Blamer. He was a stylist. A whole bag. And, like, you have looks, okay? And, you know, there are looks that they've planned for you, and you get to give your input. One of the looks, I was like, I'm not wearing that. I'm not wearing that. So, I did a little remix. But it was really interesting. And I think one of the most, my highlight was, everybody was like, oh, my goodness, your shoe was so easy. Like, it was so so easy to do. Gustus, shout out to you, Gustus, the photographer. He was like, oh, I enjoy, like, you were so easy. I was like, yeah, I spent, like, you really think I'm going to waste all of those years watching ANTM? Like, yo, I'm a culture kid, y'all. I spent years watching America's Next Top Model, Tyra Shun and all those girls, and I wouldn't know how to pose in front of a camera. You're crazy. Do you know what I used to do in my free time whenever I was in front of a mirror? I just pose. I know all my good angles. I know what I look like if I lean back. I know like good jaw. Like, what are you talking about? I wasn't even stunned. Like, when the pictures came, they were beautiful. Of course, you're beautiful. But I wasn't like shocked and like, oh my goodness. Oh my God, is that me? Like, I knew I was going to give, but I was just waiting for what y'all would say. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. I'm sure that by now, the magazine will be out. Make sure you get it and read. Fui Kantama Klo. I hope I'm saying the right name, because you know he's had a rebrand. Oh my God, Fui, please forgive me. He interviewed me and he wrote really beautifully about my journey as a creative and just stepping out and just doing all the things that we do. So thank you guys so much, Emmy. I really appreciate it. You know, sometimes doing these kind of things, like being a creative in Ghana, seems like a thankless job, you know. It's like you're just creating into a void, and you know, like, it just feels like that sometimes, you know. I've told you, like, and honestly, listen, this is not me complaining, because honestly, I don't even want to go anywhere where bloggers will be following me around. Like, that is not the kind of life I want to live for myself. Like, hey, no shade, but like, I would not want to be somewhere and they're like, you know, bloggers with a camera in my face. But I'm like, when I go to some of these listening sessions, events, like, I've been invited to, like, Stonebuy has invited me to something or whatever, and it's like, you just see the bloggers are filming the people that they think are popular. You know, like, don't stand next to Wesley Kessie. They will film him, and when it gets to you, they'll put the phone down. It happens all the time. I remember at Stonebuy's listening session for his album before the most recent one, I was there, I was with Kitty and some other people. They were filming, you know, they got to me, they put a phone down, they were like, who's this guy? And I'm fine with that, but like, you know, it just, sometimes you don't really, you know, get like praise or whatever. I mean, of course, the listeners really love you, and you know, that's honestly where we get, you know, our fulfillment from, if you ask me. But like, in the grand scheme of things, nobody really, like, you know what I mean? Like, in the space of media and journalists and whatever, nobody's like really checking for you as anybody that's doing anything. But we know what we are contributing to culture, so it is what it is. But thank you guys so much for, you know, picking me and putting me on the cover. You know what I mean? It was a great experience. It was definitely a great experience, and I enjoyed it. And I hope that if you're creative, you're listening to me, you're going to keep pushing and be consistent, so that one day you too will be called like this. You know what I mean? Because it was a great feeling, guys. It was a great feeling. They give us food, everything. Like, I if you followed me on my Instagram story, you realize we did the shoot twice, actually, because for the cover, it was going to be like, there were two or three people that they wanted on that, you know, it didn't happen, so they changed it around. So we did a first shoot, and then we did a second shoot. But anyway, follow me on Instagram, and you see the BTS, whatever I do stuff. But anyway, let's get into things, okay? A few trending things that have been going on. A lot of things have gone on. Let me tell you, in this period, I have not been very present on socials. You know, for the first time, because typically what happens is when we are on a break, we're working, okay? I'm going to be very honest with you. We've recorded about 5 episodes down. So every time when you guys, people come in here, they're like, oh my God, when are you guys coming back? It's just funny because I'm on a break, but we're working, okay? We're working. We're having meetings. We're scheduling, you know, because sometimes people come through and they don't live in Ghana. Hint, they don't live in Ghana and they're going to go. So you have to quickly do it. And then you have like 3 or 2 days to do research. And you know how we go in, and when it's time for us to do research on Cecilia Accra. So we've really been working. But for the first time, when I'm on a break, usually I'm very present, because I'm always trying to keep up with what's going on, so that when it's time for us to like have a production meeting and think about like, oh, what is the season we're gonna give, we know what the culture is asking for. You know what I mean? But I'm checking into social media like for the first time in the day, like 3 p.m. You know, I'm missing a lot of the news. So this is the best that I could do. Y'all gonna have it and take it. Okay. All right. So today I saw High Life artist Rex Omar has been appointed as the presidential staffer for the Black Star Experience, y'all. I saw it and I said, what is this? What is the Black Star Experience? I don't know. And I saw a few people were like, oh my goodness, what does this mean? So I went to do a little digging. And basically, the Black Star Experience is an initiative of the ruling National Democratic Congress, blah, 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 which will focus on showcasing the rich cultural heritage of Ghana, celebrating African creativity and promoting unity and pride among Ghanaians. It will include events, festivals, exhibitions, and cultural exchanges that highlight the diversity and beauty of Ghanaian art and culture. So that's his job. Rex Omar is going to come and help us showcase our rich cultural heritage, you know, to the blood and soul of our fathers. And I pledge myself to them. Well, you know what? I've told you what it is now, so now you know what to expect. Let's see as the years go by, you know. As the years go by, let's see how Rex Owusu-Mafo, guys, is gonna do this, because this is an interesting thing. You know, I think we're in a new era where people are trying to keep their ears to the ground to be more like hold people accountable for what it is that they do, because you're holding public office. You're probably getting paid from public coffers. So, do the job that you've been asked to do. Don't just be a title holder. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's what it is, guys. Black Star Experience. So yeah, if you want to, you know how you can start following him on social media and see what he's doing. That's it. Because like, you don't have his number. You're not in his personal life. And I don't see bloggers putting cameras in Rex's face because because he doesn't also go to these things. You know what I mean? But anyway, Rex Omar, congratulations. I really hope you pulled through, you know, the creative scene. We're here. And that's the thing. Usually when you guys get some of these roles, it's always in like this high level, far removed from the people thing. You know what I mean? So please. It's always going to take a body, people outside. You know, like, I remember when Vice President Kamala Harris came to Ghana, like, she was recognizing people like DJ Mitchie, you know, why must it take outsiders to platform us before people over here will know that, oh, these people are important? You know, I'm going to tell you, before we got that Spotify thing, there was a lot of media houses that they didn't say a peep about us. It took us 5 years of work getting noticed by Spotify before some media houses were now like, oh, come on the radio, let's talk to you and stuff like that. And I'm just like, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm grateful. I'm just saying. another one, KOD has been appointed Presidential Advisor on Diaspora Affairs. Well, kudos to you. I just want to see what you're about to do. I didn't bother to go and look up what the Presidential Advice on Diaspora Affairs does, but I felt like I could infer, you know. A bunch of African-Americans have been given Ghanaian citizenship, of which Dr. Omar is part. I've also seen some story about how they've given them land to develop a community for themselves. I saw a video about one of them saying that, why are they being, you know, why is there segregation? Why are they putting them in a, why can't they mix them? Girl, listen, if you want to mix and match, you are free to do so. You can rent Among Us. You can buy land, very expensive, Among Us, and integrate, okay? The government is just doing its bit by giving you a place to, you know, they're just helping. I mean, sometimes y'all just, you know, we're in the era of rage baiting, so sometimes I get it, but girl, it is what it is. KOD, let's see what you do with your advice on diaspora affairs. Once again, let creatives feel it, okay? What else is new? There's been a couple of new music that's been out. You know, one of the songs that I'm really liking right now is Bang Bang by Beast Trap Kotom and Sarkodie and Chrissy Arthur. You know, I know it means king of the, is it king of the mic or king of the music? I don't know. But Beast Trap Kotom, Bang Bang, I love the song. I love it. You guys, look for it. Shout out to you, Ara the J. I see you. I want to say thank you to you guys. You guys sent me tickets to the concert in December. I couldn't make it, so sorry. But it looked really great. And I just love to watch you grow and do your thing. Of course, Blacko is still doing things. I really like Lord I'm Amazed. I know he's released Lord I'm Amazed, and I think So It Goes. I'll tell you, out of the two, Lord I'm Amazed is my favorite one. You know what I mean? Keep going, Mempoli, dun dun dun, God and Shoss. Ah, I love it. I love it. Cena Soul has got an album coming out. Girl, you know, there's a special place in my heart for Cena Soul. I love her music. I love her tone. I love her sound. And I just feel like she kind of like disappeared a bit last year. And so I was really excited to see. She's got an album coming out, girl. We're checking for her. We're looking for her. And I love the Pixie Cat. I love it. I really want, global artists have errors with their looks. Like when they're in this album mode, like Beyonce is going to give you like Cowboy Carter, and then she's wearing cowboy hats and she's giving you Texas style. She's doing Renaissance. She's giving you silvers, EDM looks. You know what I mean? Like Rihanna, red hair day, short hair day. Like I just want our artists to give us errors. You know, it's a whole thing. Oh, it's not just you're selling the music, but you have to look at Rema. Rem started smoking a cigarette for this new album, and that has been his whole thing. He's just been a criminal. I just like, is it a crime? Which, by the way, it's well worth the wait. Okay, look, I think the last video I saw from him, he got arrested by this like light skinned girl. He was sitting in the back of the car. He was like, "Baby, you, baby, sumo leo." I mean, oh my god. Oh yeah, show yourself, love is in the air. No, he said, oh yeah, show yourself, do over sabi, love is in the air. Ah, I love it. I just want to see you guys commit visually to your eras as well. Because like, it's just not enough to say, oh, new album, and you look the same. I don't know, man. Y'all get creative. Who else? Oh, Mr. Drew released the Loverboy EP as well. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you something. I'm just in this era where like, I hate going outside. Oh my god. And another thing, like, look, I love us, the creative scene and everything, but most of the times when I get invited to some of these things, it never starts on time. And I'm really at that age where I'm starting to lower the volume on things. Yo, I'm starting to lower the volume on things. And so it's like, if I'm outside and it's like 11, it's hitting 12, I'm going to start yawning. And that is not a good look, y'all. I'm still a baby boy, but trust. I just like these things. They never start on time. I've been invited to enough to know they never start on time. So yes, I got invited to the listening session for the Loverboy EP by Mr. Drew. Thank you so much for inviting Mr. Drew. I couldn't make it. I'm sorry. I think I also got a box from Black Sharif and his team. Thank you guys. We think about you. We love you guys. And I know you're doing the same. So just keep pushing and we'll do what we can do over here. You know what I mean? She's over it, y'all. I'm just like, I'm doing my best. But anyway, yeah, so yeah, new music is out. And I like it. I saw that Dope Nation and Kwame Eugene are beefing. I saw the video. You know, there's talent there. I'm just going to say, every time Dope Nation has this thing, you know, that whole thing that Rihanna had where she was having a bop every summer. I feel like Dope Nation has successfully had a hit almost every year since they've been out. They always find, even if it's like they put 100 songs out, they're going to have one or two hits. You know what I mean? And that's great. But I'm just at a level where I'm so tired of beef being a way to sell music. I'm just tired. Even if they were not trying to sell music and they were really annoyed at him or whatever, I just feel like it's so unimaginative at this point. You know what I mean? There's talent there. The bars were great. I forgot the sampled some songs to do it. It was great, whatever. But I'm just like, can we elevate? Can we move forward? Can we want more for ourselves than just fighting over some lame shit? Y'all, come on. I know Kwame Eugene's left links. I don't know. Like, trust me. Usually, if things find me, I'll pay attention. I haven't actively been online, so I don't know whether he's putting music out. I don't know what he's doing now or whatever. But like, y'all, beef in 2025? Elevate. That's all I'm going to say. As a Hive member, I'm on red alert for rage baiting because I know how you guys do. By the way, shout out to you, Beyonce, for finally winning Album of the Year at the Grammys for Cowboy Carter. And for those of you who feel like, oh my God, this is a pity award, y'all, look, this is not the same as Leonardo DiCaprio getting the Oscar for Bear. This is not it. This is not a consolation prize, y'all. Cowboy Carter is an amazing body of work. It's magnificent. It's well put together. I know you guys feel away because we are going way back to self-titled Lemonade and Renaissance. Those deserved it too. Those would have been like pristine, nice wins. But listen, the theme for the Grammys this year was an innovation. So I guess finally they got tired of the old same boring shit and they finally decided to give it to the real talent. Okay, I said what I said. Whether you're a Billie Eilish fan, you're a Taylor Swift, and you feel it's a type of way, feel it. Because we felt a type of way all these years when we've been losing. And we do you know what we did? We pocketed it and we okay, well, not everybody pocketed it because some of the Hive can be really like crazy online. I am a self-actualized Hive. I no longer fight with people over it. And because of that, I'm on red alert for rage beating. Like people just threw something like, oh, Beyonce's overrated. Every 2 to 3 business working days, you see that shit. And it's just somebody trying to raise engagement on your platform. Because right now, Elon pays people to be chaotic. You know what I mean? But anyway, you know, on a more solemn, you know, new story, the great actor Mowgli Semavor has died. He apparently died by succumbing to the injuries that he got in a fire that happened in his residence. And it's a very sad thing. For those of you who don't know, he is a legend, y'all. I remember Mowgli Semavor from A Stab in the Dark. You know that scene where Efe goes to the office? No, wait, sorry. Efe is Pascaline Edwards, right? And oh my God, why am I forgetting her name? But anyway, so you know when the two friends, she goes to her father's office to go and confront her best friend who has now become her father's mistress. And Nana Hayford was sitting there with Maoli Sumavon. They were the workers in the office. And the whole time that these girls were going at it, oh my God, Maoli Sumavon and Nana Hayford were just like, you know, oh my goodness. I remember him. And he's been in so many things, you know. He was in The Love of AA. Oh my God, you guys remember The Love of AA? That great Kwawansa film, he was in there. Yeah, YOLO, he's had guest appearances in so many things. And I think the last thing that I saw him in was... he was in Nasha Cause Plays It, Gods Are Not to Blame or something. Yeah, he was on stage acting. He's, oh my God. I took a second and I just thought about all the great things that I'd seen him in. He was even in a Khan drama way back then. Some of y'all don't know what a Khan drama is. Ha! Ha ha! But, yeah, rest in peace, legend. You've done so much. You've inspired so much. Such a sad way to go. I wanted to talk about was Martha Ankuma and this Lil Wayne thing. Okay, so I think last year Lil Wayne made some comments about Martha Ankuma. Girl was like, you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna put sand in my car. You're not gonna make me look like I'm less than. And she sued him. Apparently, they've reached an agreement. Sadly, I have not been able to find what the agreement is. Every single news source. Well, let me be honest. I was very lazy with the digging. This wasn't one of the interviews where like we were doing real research. Okay, I saw a couple of headlines. I clicked it. I'm like, okay, will it give me more? It didn't, and I was like, girl, what the hell? But the thing is that I got distracted by something else. Okay, they've reached an agreement. I don't know whether Lil Wayne is really. As somebody that knows who Lil Wayne is, it's always so hard for me to say Lil Wayne. It's just anyway. I don't know whether he's paying her the whole $5 million. Is it dollar or CD? I have no idea. But here's what I wanted to say. Okay. Now, y'all, bear with me, y'all. Bear with me. Listen, Martha, you're suing somebody for defamation. The least you could have done was show up to court looking like somebody who has something to protect. That is all. I saw Martha in that video. She had braids. There was mad undergrowth. She wasn't wearing earrings. She was wearing a top and a skirt that I don't want it to be like I'm like attacking her looks or like what, like this is not fashion for the movie. I'm not Charlie Dio here, but I'm just saying, girl, you went to court for defamation, girl. Look like you're somebody. That's all. Like, look like you're somebody, girl. Like, you don't even have to buy a new dress. Just show up, like, put together, girl. You know what I mean? Because you know the bloggers are going to be there. You know the journalists are going to be there. Give them a look. Give them time to talk about. Like, girl, what was that? No. No, baby, no. Girl, please don't sue me. I don't have money. Do not sue me. Oh my goodness. And you know what? With that, we're going to wrap it up with what has been trending. Oh, oh my goodness. GCR, y'all. Let's get our lawyers ready, girl. We could be sued. Oh my God. But girl, like, you could have wore earrings. Just earrings, girl. A sensible pearl necklace. I don't know, man, girl. But anyway, yeah, listen. This episode, Kwame and I sit down to talk about the journey that we've had doing this podcast for over 7-8 years, okay? We both prepared questions. Nobody knew what the questions were going to be, and we asked each other the questions. We take turn answering them and everything, and I think it makes for a very great episode, a very great return back. It's going to set the tone for the season. And talking about set the tone for the season, I just want to say, guys, last year, we really didn't do a lot of listener letters, and we apologize. You know, people come to this show for different things. People like Vox Pops. I don't go out as much anymore. That's the problem. I don't go out as much anymore. I used to be out all the time. And so it was so fun to do Vox Pops. And that's the thing. I'm growing. I'm, you know, as you're growing, and it's not like, oh, I'm an over. No. Like, you know, you change. The things you like change. And it's really hard for me to just go out and do Vox Pops when, like, you know what? I am changing. Oh my God. Shout out to you, Dream Girls. But yeah, I just want to encourage you guys to send us new listener letters, okay? We really want to do listener letters this season. But here's the thing. Hey, there's like a bunch of y'all telling us about how you're attracted to this person and you want this person. And yeah, it's always people you have no business liking. It's always people that, like, you put, let me tell you something. Most of the problems you guys send to us, they can be solved by a quick self-love session. Oh, a quick one. A little tag and pull. Yes! When you have more clarity in the pet. We won't say, oh, this decision wasn't even good. It is last. It is ayasido. And no, just say, hey, Lord, please, there's more to life. There are real issues. Some of you are having marital issues, and it's not even about sex. You know, not seeing eye to eye with your partner, church issue, family issue, internal conflict. You know, what's it called? You're battling with your career versus pleasing your parents and your friendship. You know, I want to hear real issues, real existential problems that millennials, Gen Zs are going through, guys. It's not always about sex. If you're going to send us stuff about sex, let it be Emmy worthy shit. Let me things that will give the Oscars for a run for their money. Like, gag me, okay? Let me watch it and let me be like, oh. You know, let it be good shit, like a Kofi. You remember a letter from a Kofi? Yeah, that's it. But like some of you, I feel like you're just looking for a moment and you look, it's not giving. It's not given. And I just got tired. It was just uninspired. But like, bring us your real problems, okay? It's not always relationships. It's not always sex. But if that is what it is, you know, bring it. And we'll see what we can do, okay? Anyway, guys, buckle up. It's going to be a great, fun episode. Sincerely, your cry is back, y'all. I'm so happy. Oh, and by the way, quick housekeeping. Every time you hear me or Kwame say season 9 on the episode, it's actually season 8. You know, we don't do well at math.
Silly. Number 1. I'm in love. Cause I'm on me tempo. So that I went that day. I'm into me now. And so, me what that you love with your character. Oh, yeah, it can be a therapist. You like cherubim. Not only you fit to give me peace. I'm in love. I can be your therapist. Lift up all your bedding. Not only you fit to give me peace. So I'm in love. In the chocolate, yeah, yeah, you say. In the chocolate, yeah, yeah, you say.
You know, I usually give a shout out to my co-creator and my producer, but I'm not going to do that today. It's not because we are fighting, but because he's here. So do your shout out yourself. Do your shout out yourself.
Hey guys, this is Mr. Asante. Yes.
That's not how you sound. Why are you trying to sound all sexy?
Oh, why it was for the brand.
Oh my God. Anyway, as you can see, we're reporting live from LA.
And Charlie.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Is this the first episode back?
I guess.
Yeah. But like, so you know, we've done this podcast for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever, well, there was that one time you spoke on the podcast.
I think I've
or like been twice.
Yeah, twice. This is the third time in 8 seasons.
I promise you, you're the only one that keeps up on the seasons.
It's my like, job. I'm the producer.
I don't know how many seasons we've done. How many episodes do you have?
Whew.
I know it's past 100, but...
We're getting close to 200.
200?
Yeah. That's wild.
Just been talking.
Talking.
Yeah, anyway, guys. So, you know, Kwame decided to come on the podcast today. Will you tell them why you're on the podcast?
To disturb his life.
That's not possible. You know, I remain unbothered. I'm constantly unbothered.
Anyway, I'm here because this is the ninth season and...
And we're ending the podcast, guys. There's no easy way to put it. Like, let me just rip the band-aid off. This is our finale. Tell them why.
Don't mind him. We're not going anywhere. Basically, Joseph and I felt the need to be here to, you know, for you guys to get to know us a bit more.
Is that the direction of your question?
For them to get so we both set 10 questions. I don't know the questions he set. He also doesn't know the questions I set. So this should be fun.
No personal questions shall be answered. I'm just saying.
We'll see.
Okay. That's cool.
We'll see.
No, so who is starting?
You're the host.
No, you know. Well, as the host, you will be starting.
Okay. My first question.
Wait.
Why are you running?
No, I don't thought about it. Let me start.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No!
So you're watching.
I didn't understand what I meant. Wait. Wait.
Breathe.
Yeah,
breathe,
before we get into that, like, welcome back. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. How you do? I know you guys are broke. I know you're still recovering. You're still waiting for the January pay, huh? Yeah, I know. But anyway, it's cool. Just don't borrow over 500 Ghana cedis.
Facts.
I'm just saying. Because then when the money comes and you start to disburse, you'll be left with nothing. Yeah, okay. So now I'm going to start.
Mm-hmm.
My first question.
Okay.
What do you find most annoying?
Mm-hmm.
Walking behind slow walkers or waiting at an ATM behind someone who doesn't know how to use it?
I think walking behind slow walkers.
Why?
Because what if you're in a hurry or in a situation where you have running slow?
Excuse me. Like, just tap there. Excuse me. And you just,
yeah. And then, like, Charlie, you move here. And then, so slow walkers.
Because you can't do anything about ATM. Like, you have to wait.
What?
Because when you get close, it's like a security breach.
But, you know, with the ATM thing, I feel like the money is yours. And unless it's like a critical emergency.
Why are you like?
Patience.
No.
And it's not, maybe the ATM is just slow, but slow walkers, it's intentional. You are intentionally walking slow.
You can ask them to get out of your way. Anyway, it's your answer. So you think what's more annoying are slow walkers?
Slow walkers, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This conversation was supposed to stretch a little bit.
Well, you failed.
All right, your turn.
Anyway, my question to you is, I mean, you said this on the podcast several times.
Oh, okay.
Why are you scared of rejection?
Ah!
No, why?
Is this supposed to be a therapy session?
No.
Oh,
because,
my God.
Guys, let me give some context.
Jesus Christ.
So, I think last year, we were nominated a couple of times for numerous awards, about 5 or 6. And every time it will come, right, and we put it in the group, Joseph will not see a thing. Just ignore. So literally it's Cyril and I, like, you know, trying to put it out there. Oh, we've been nominated. And Joseph is like, yeah, I've not seen this. Why? Like, where is the genesis of this? And are you working towards, like, moving past it? Because, I mean, we do a good job. Those nominations will keep coming.
I just want to say that there's like 10 people in this room. And I'm supposed to present like it's just the two of us.
Well.
But anyway, I have deep-seated trauma from losing the head prefectship election in my high school.
Okay.
So I don't like to put energy behind things where people have to vote for me. Like, if you think the podcast is great and you're going to vote for us, why do we have to come and do, hey, 2 more days, vote for us? It's so beggy. I don't want to beg for votes.
But, like, I mean, it's, even the Oscars, they campaign for votes.
Who?
People.
I see Viola Davis campaign for votes for anybody.
So they put out billboards, they talk to
their management.
Yeah.
Their management. Yeah, so GCR can put the post, not me.
Jesus Christ.
Like, the most you get out of me is like one post. And it'll be very passive.
Even
it'll be like, oh.
We have to.
I mean, that's why there's a account for the show. So you get a, oh, wow. Oh, thanks. Mm,
you've heard.
But I'm not gonna, yeah. So wait, the question is, yeah, I've answered it.
Would it get better?
I guess we'll never know. You know, like we won one award last year.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but then also like we were not physically there. You know, I keep thinking about like how if maybe it's an award where we are present and then we win, I'm going to go up on the stage and say like, can you check to make sure that...
Guys, the trauma is deep. It's crazy deep.
No, but also it's just yawa. Like,
what is...
I don't know.
You need to get over it. You do a great job. I mean, nomination is sort of a win, and then the win is the cherry on the
pie. That's a bold-faced lie. When it was, oh, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be nominated, y'all. I'm just glad. Hey, that's a lie. You want to win.
It's giving first round of energy.
My consolation prize. You have to like. For all the pictures. Mean? No.
You need to get over it, Joseph. Honestly.
Who says I do?
Variety
is the spice of life. Let me tell you. So somebody needs to have a fear of rejection. And somebody like you doesn't have to have that. Anyway.
Guys, this year definitely we'll get some nominations. Again, if you don't see
the social media account will post.
Okay.
And I will like but not retweet. Like, y'all make so much noise and it's the best podcast and votes. Like, why do I have to like literally be in people's faces and say vote? And then remember the very first time we got nominated for the Pulse and we were like neck to neck with Sex and Sanity.
I think some of the trauma comes from there.
No, it's from high school.
Because that one was wild.
Yeah, it was very close. And then like they won.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, I mean, where's Cyril?
don't drag Cyril into this.
Anyway.
Say what you want to see.
No, I mean like sister podcast on the same network. Yeah. So a win is a win. My turn.
All right.
Okay. What is your version of how we started this podcast? Because I feel like I've told the story before. But what is your version?
Interestingly, I have a question that is similar but different. My version. I mean, you got invited onto Free Your Mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joseph and I have been friends for long.
BlackBerry
long,
Messenger.
Charlie.
Yeah.
And creatively, we share a lot of ideas together and whatnot. So I think you were invited on Free Your Mind. And after you got invited, you came to me. You were like, oh. Like, you had fun on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking we should do something like that. So we're throwing ideas around. But at that time, you didn't know Cyril and Donald were friends of mine. We actually went to the same high school. I intentionally didn't bring it up because...
Quick sidebar, Kwame knows everybody.
That's a lie.
You know too many people.
I know people, but not everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, you told me, but... I intentionally removed the part where I know Cyril and Donald because I wanted it to be something that if we're doing, it's something that they accept because it's good, not because, oh, we happen to know Kwame.
No nepotism.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, we threw about some ideas and the first one, Saga of the Returnee type situation, that didn't go too well.
The person that... I feel like I should mention his
name. Don't do that.
Is it though? But anyway.
Don't do it.
Guys, like we were going to do a whole investigation. So honestly, it was because I had just listened to Serial.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to do like an investigative podcast series and every season we'll be focusing on one main thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first season was supposed to be the Saga of the Returnee. So like we're going to talk to a bunch of people who have left Ghana and come back and find out how like, you know, assimilating back into the culture is like, and we spoke to this guy who you've been living abroad for like 6-7 years and now you've come back home, you're living with your parents. And I had asked him, how has coming back here to live with your parents, how has that affected your sex life? And he's like, it's okay. I mean, like, where is the entertainment value in that? Tell me how you have to wait for your parents to sleep to sneak somebody in. Uh-huh. Tell me how you're going to movie houses. Like, give me the substance.
Yeah, I remember editing that episode and reaching out to you. I was like, Charlie.
You know who you are. You killed that idea.
After, but it was there was silver lining in that. Because after, like, I tried editing, I realized there wasn't much there, even though it was supposed to be, like, some investigative style podcast, we came up with the Vox Pop idea. I mean, that's what we led with. And I remember we were driving down the N1 road. I think we had gone somewhere.
I don't remember.
Oh, you won't remember too. So we were driving down N1 and we were just throwing ideas around. And we're discussing how shitty that pilot episode was. And then the idea for, why don't we do Vox Pops, you know, anonymously? Yeah. Because when we meet with our friends, they say a lot of shit, you know, they say a lot of crazy things, but then, you know, they feel safe because they know it remains there.
There, yes.
So we're like, okay.
Very cancelable things.
Oh, yeah. Our friends are wild. That oh one, I could tell you. So yeah, we both like the idea, and I think Seraglio was still doing its thing, like Friday.
Bring your own bottle.
Bring your own.
Pay the gate fee.
Yeah. So I think that was the first one we did. No. Actually, no. You went to a private party.
I went to a house party.
Yeah. You went to a private party.
You're making me now look at that person that, like, that horrible interview as the reason why we switched.
Really? They were the reason.
Oh.
So yeah, we started off and the responses we got, because it was anonymous, mm-hmm, and the questions were crazy.
And people were slightly drunk.
There's that too.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's how Sincerely Accra came about. The naming of it, though.
Go on to your next question.
That's a whole different story, but yeah.
Some horrible names.
Anyway. Okay. My next question, guys. So Joseph knows a lot of creative people. He surrounds himself with a lot of very intelligent creative people. So even though we're friends, we would bounce ideas off each other. I've always wondered why he particularly picked me to work on the podcast with him.
Not this nigga fishing for compliments.
No, wow. That's what you're doing now.
Because you know, the one that I thought could see the vision too. You ain't shit.
No, listen. So Joseph, no, listen, guys. Again, context. Don't mind him. So
your answer is, your question is, why you and not all the other creative people that I know?
Yes, because you had worked on...
Because you're a producer at VOA.
No. But the still, you had worked on a documentary with Bishville. You had done Odunsi prior to.
Yes.
So you knew people who could have, like, jumped on this and gone like, hey, we'll do this with you. But then I was like, okay, I guess.
That's not true. Like, no. all of those projects was, like, mm-hmm, very experimental, right? They were doing the documentary. I shot it with Micaiah, who was a photographer. Mm-hmm. He didn't know how to shoot video. He learned whilst we did it. And after we did it, it took us 8 months because we were now learning how to edit video to be able to edit that. Like, it was all very... So, you were already, like, working in radio. Mm-hmm. And podcast is kind of like radio.
Yeah.
So... like, good fit, right? And you were already, like, doing creative stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, we had worked on your disability film and everything. So, yeah, I feel like it was... And we already used to bounce ideas off of each other. Yeah. So, it was already, like, it was easy, yeah. Okay. Like, skills... Mm. You had the skills. I'm not going to talk about the skills that you have. What is this? Okay.
So, I was the hire who made sense.
Oh, you want me to say, oh my God. Okay, like, he's super talented.
Anyway, next question.
Let me finish.
Okay.
No, he's super talented. He pays attention to detail. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, I approached this podcast in a very lackadaisical way. Like, it took me a while. Kwame always wants to have a production meeting. I'm like, wait.
You?
And then he was like, I'll send you production. The first time Kwame sent me production notes, I didn't understand why I had to scroll twice. on my phone. Like, why? Like, we already know what we're going to talk about. He wants to have a meeting. Notes will be taken. Then there's a production note. And then we have to go over it. And it's always a check-in. Like, before it became the norm, it just felt like it was a lot. And then I look back on it and I'm like, if I had done it with somebody else, we'd probably not be as serious. Because, like, Kwame's like, and you know, every time we have, like, a meeting and you have to talk about, like, maybe, like, partnerships and whatever, I'll be honest, I don't be paying attention because I know that. I don't know, he's not paying attention. Because by the time, like, maybe whatever meeting is done, Kwame's like, oh, so I have some questions. And I'm like,
Cyril.
And then when Cyril, you think, I'm like, I completely agree with Kwame.
Actually, that's... He always says that. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, we are on the same wavelength. Sana, you're not listening.
We are. The wavelength being that I believe your wavelength. Wait, whose turn is it?
It's yours.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay, question number three.
Mm-hmm.
In the 7 years, mm-hmm. how many times have you wanted to stop this podcast?
Let me see.
While you're thinking, mine is every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, I want to give it up.
Why?
It's a lot of work.
It kind of is.
It's a lot of work.
It kind of is. I think for me, twice.
Twice? Yes. And then 7 years. Yeah. Oh my God. I can't wait for you to have children.
Twice.
Then you can see if you still love the podcast the same.
I mean, so I guess I compartmentalize everything that I do in my life, including this and work and whatnot. And yeah, twice.
What were the instances? Actually, never mind. Let's move on.
Well, the instances, one was, I think there was a week, something was about to happen, and it was just, ooh. We got some, this was 2 years ago, around, we got some gig where it was a sponsorship deal and they mm-hmm. wanted and like 10 episodes back
oh,
to
yeah,
back.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness. So none, so the podcast is like bi-weekly.
Yes.
But because of that, we had to do it weekly, which was crazy because like
Jesus
the
Christ.
Turnover, is it turnaround time or turnover time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whichever one it is. For the podcast is like, a week and some days. And so now you have to like do all of that in like 3 days.
It was crazy because you and I have our 9-to-5s, yeah. Very demanding. And then here we are having to make sure that we have like 10 episodes within a number, like a set yeah. number of weeks. And at the end of the day, trying to figure out the episode topics, making sure that everything is within the entertainment value that we have created for ourselves.
So it's not too advert.
Exactly. It was a lot. And having to edit like every week, plus it was the end of the year. So of course, for our jobs.
And you're getting invites to events that don't start on time. Yo, entertainment industry, you guys, you need to do better. Like, don't invite me to something and say it starts at 8 and it's going to start at 1 a.m. That's just crazy.
I feel it's not going to go away for a while.
I'm of a particular age, y'all.
Anyway. So, yeah, that was one of the instances. It was too much for me, but Charlie, we powered through. The other instance,
can move on.
That's in another question that I have for him.
Oh, why is that here?
We are in season 9. Why not? We can talk about it.
We cannot.
We can.
Okay, move on.
Yeah. Oh, so it's my turn.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Since we are on that.
is that a natural next question? Don't move it up. You arranged it in the order that you wanted to ask.
Okay. All right. So the next question, after 8 seasons, this being the 9th, what do you think we could have done different?
In like the past 7?
7 years, but 8 seasons, just being the 9th season. What do you think we could have done different?
State of video. Y'all know I hate video. Like, I don't understand. Like, the podcast is an audio thing, and then someone's great idea in the world was to start doing video for an audio thing, and then now everybody has to do video. Like, this, I think you guys had to, like, it took you like 2 years to convince me to start doing video. It's just a lot of work.
I mean, from a production standpoint, right? Yes, podcasting, when it started, it's audio, you know, part of the new media rage or rave, I should say. Mm. And it got to a point where most podcasts were heading towards video, you understand? So as, you know, a podcast that is a torchbearer in this country, oh yeah, hey. I get to say that.
All right. Torchbearer.
Oh yeah, I get to say that. Top five consecutively. Okay. Anyway. Why?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Top five.
Yeah. It's 85. Oh no, God. Humility. But yeah, I felt like we should, in a way, situate ourselves in a position where, of course, audio is king for us, but video would also push us, you know, because during COVID, a lot of people were discovered on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, why not? Like, a lot of people now understand.
But you know that we, like, kind of blew up in COVID, because even though we didn't have video, people were listening to the listener letters at the time.
Yes. And I mean, I'll get to that. But at least that's where my mind was for video. Mm-hmm. Why not?
You and Cyril.
Yes, Cyril and I. So we pushed video so that at least people who enjoy, you know, YouTube. And to be honest, for most of the people in the diaspora, when they are home on a weekend relaxing, they like to look for Ghanaian content on YouTube
a lot.
Yes, to watch. Okay. So myself being in the diaspora and experiencing that firsthand, anytime I visit my friends, I felt masafaso.
Greetings from abroad.
Yeah, I felt like, why not? It would be nice, you know, to be part of the searched content on YouTube. So I pitched the idea. Joseph hated it. But eventually it was 2-1, so he didn't have a choice. But I mean, now we have some insights, you know. Yeah. We do have some insights. We understand that audio
video is
still king.
A lot of work, y'all.
It's necessary, but audio is still king. I think we came to understand that a lot of people enjoy our product. Audio-wise, when they are like working or cleaning their house, or sometimes when we have listener letters, they gather around, like maybe they're having a games night, and then they play the episode and they listen to some of the letters, and it becomes a debate.
That, like, is still so wild to me. Like, sometimes people send me pictures of, like, their friend groups listening to it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is so crazy.
Yeah, Charlie, that's what we've become. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. It looks like for us, even though we were pursuing a new format to add to what we already had, we never forgot about audio, by the way. But it just gave us the insight as to, okay, audio is still where your numbers are. 40,000 listeners a month is not, I mean... Why are you shocked?
It's still here.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not child's play. So we decided, okay, for this new season, we'll continue to go hard on the audio. I mean, usually I'm in charge of that. So it just means that go crazy on it, have more fun with it, make sure the content is crisp. And yeah. So that's that.
Very PR.
Very trained.
I feel like you're the serious one here.
Am I not?
Shade, y'all. Anyway, the next question. What's your least favorite thing about working with me?
Is this a safe space?
You have some shady questions, but I'm asking if it's a safe space.
Working with you, what's the least favorite?
There's a whole list, y'all.
Okay. Let me say this. I mean, it's gotten better.
Don't PR it. Like,
I'm not gonna PR it.
I feel like I just try to, like...
No, I need to pick my words carefully because at the end of the day, you're still my friend and I don't want to get blocked.
I mean, there's like 10 people here. What's the big deal?
They'll leave and then I'm left with you. But,
oh, don't worry.
So, I mean, he explained later. Joseph, when Joseph has an idea, right, he pours it out. So sometimes, literally, there was a day I was eating fufu, like, my hand was in soup. And then he called and he just started talking. I was like, okay, I hear you, but Joseph, can you call me back? I'm like in the middle of eating. So for him, when he has an idea, it's like in the spur of the moment, he wants to pour it out. And for me, I felt like, I feel like work is being thrown at me during my downtime. Yeah. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. I mean, initially I didn't get it, but later I actually approached him. I asked him about it. I was like, you know, what is that about? And he was like, oh, for him, when he has an idea, he just wants to, it's like a notepad, you know, he just wants to throw it out there because he's kind of scared that it might evaporate or the concept that came to him might switch up.
Or he'll forget.
So when he does that, it's not because, you know, he's trying to give me work in that moment. It doesn't mean that what he's telling me has to be executed in that moment. He's just sharing it with me so that I can have it at the back of my mind or I can have it in our chat, you know. So I got that. So yes, that was something, but you explained, so we're fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Now it's your turn.
Hey, good.
But I think about work being thrown at your downtime.
Yes. Like, hey, you asked.
You do some. You do some.
Well, what was the hardest moment for you dealing with the podcast?
I think, you know, the way the tone of the podcast is very like high energy, happiness, and all those kind of things. And, you know, as an adult, you're not always happy. And so there are times when I have to perform happiness and that's very draining because it's like you're broke, you're dealing with one or two things. And then Kwame is like, I need the episode tomorrow. Can you send me the audio? And you have to come and sit there and be like, hi guys. Oh my God. Welcome to another exciting episode. Who? I'm not excited. It's like, yeah, I feel like when we first started doing it, at least for like first, it's funny, for the first four before we got the Spotify recognition, it was like such a breeze to do, but I don't know.
I mean, the pressure
yes, it's like, and it's not even necessarily pressure from like the podcast, but it's like just things happening in general and just having to still perform happiness on days when you're not happy. I think that's the most challenging thing.
You know, the interesting thing is, and I you have mentioned this before, I'll say you're a great actor. Because in editing the episode, I usually listen for cues. And there are times that Joseph will record and I go like, okay, the energy here was a bit, you know, let's re-record. And in my mind, it would come across as, oh, he's tired from work or something like that. But I never caught, you know, whim of, okay, Joseph is not tired. So this Joseph is not happy. So this is performative. I never caught that. And
I'm a professional, baby. I'm a seasoned professional.
But yeah,
it is what it is.
I learned from the greats. Well. Considering Beyonce is your like
Beyonce, Wendy Williams, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, yeah. I just remembered our first production meeting, the two of us.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was a Sunday.
Back then, I was going to approach the show from like an NPR, you know, like, hi guys, welcome to Sincerely Accra.
Kwame
was like, no, re-record this.
It wasn't going to work for me.
I was being so serious. I was like, this is a professional.
Anyway. Honestly, when you sense, I think I still have that first recording. You do? Yes.
Maybe one day we should put it out. That would be so funny. Oh my goodness.
I think I do because I told him, Charlie, the notes and like what I had in mind for Sincerely Accra, the persona, wasn't what he was trying to do. That whole I'm a poor thing, it was, yeah, it wasn't going to work for me.
Well,
so I told him to mash up three personalities into one, and he did a good job. So the word he hates, kudos.
And now when people see me outside, they're expecting me to be like, hey, what's up? <Like, laughs> Anyway, I think I'm supposed to do that. How long do you think you're going to do this podcast for? How many more years do I have in you?
Bruh.
When we started a podcast, you could bend down and kneel easily. Now there's a creak.
30 plus. I mean, we have a lot of listeners. We do. Sometimes it blows my mind. But from episode one, my approach to the podcast has always been, it's just Joseph and I, and then we are doing this to entertain like 10 people who would care to listen. Yeah, honestly, that's when I'm working on the podcast, I'm not thinking about the thousands of people who would listen.
It's more than 10. Oh.
I know. But when we started, I think our first numbers, I still remember, it was 300 people listened to our first episode.
Which was also very wild to me.
Yes.
Because I thought it was going to like 50 people. I was like, where are they from?
Exactly. We had 300 listeners. And for me, I was like, if 300 listeners, you know, took time off to listen to this, I'm going to try my best to edit and produce this audio piece in the best way that I can so that they can enjoy it. And I remember having fun with Official Kwame Five Fingers, his song on the episode. Yeah. So I've always kept that mentally, that I'm just producing for a small group of people.
So what you're going to produce for as long as those 10 people are alive?
No. Point is, my mental state is, it's fun for me. I'm trying to, you know, prove to those people that they've tuned into something quality. We have an amazing host. There's an amazing producer. So enjoy it. If it happens to be tens of thousands, well, good luck to them. But I'm still, in my mind, I'm still trying to entertain those 300 people who first listened. So it doesn't give me pressure. So moving forward, I mean, audio is still king. You can still record no matter where you are. I can still produce no matter where I am. So
for so as long as... basically, until it's no longer fun.
Until it's no longer fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Your turn.
All right. What was the happiest moment for you on the podcast, like working on this podcast?
Oh my goodness. When Afro Nation asked us to do backstage interviews, that was so wild. I was sitting next to Tiwa Savage.
Charlie.
Honestly, I was really looking forward to interviewing Rema.
Yeah.
Until the second day, and then that thing happened. I was upset.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I got to meet P Square.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were sitting next to me.
The whole place shut down to make sure that Joseph would talk to P Square, and I was looking at Joseph.
And
like,
that was so wild, right? Because like we had to come at like 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
to do like pre-production.
Yeah.
Bruh, they built a whole setup behind the stage. Okay, like sound, everything. You have to come in there. Like, I felt like I was like working on a very like serious, you know, I was talent, guys. Like, it was so nice. Like you had access when you were coming in. We had special parking. Yeah. Bruh.
It was
so nice. There was special food at the back and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oxlade, Tiwa Savage, P Square, Jackie, Black Sharif, Kamido, Kitty,
mm-hmm.
Kwame Eugene.
Yeah.
And then we met Masigo.
Oh yeah, Masigo. I love Masigo.
And Soti Soul.
Yes, we met Soti Soul too.
It's like being at the backstage at like VMAs or something. Like random celebrities were just passing around.
Yeah.
It was really nice. No, because I remember like when the email came,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I remember thinking like me, like, Bianca, right?
Yeah,
like,
Bianca,
we have me in the office. And my UK accent's not working, but basically we're like, oh yeah, it's a couple of people for you'd be really great to do this. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. It was a video call. I think we videoed it, right?
Yeah.
No, that was crazy.
We did. Yeah. I mean, it was fun for me. So I think that was. The best time on the podcast. And for me, I felt like this is such a great opportunity we are not going to slack. So I remember mm-hmm. before we even went to do the whole production backstage, I was bothering this guy with pre-production notes. Get to know your artist. What's going on with them?
I had to do research on like 10 people.
Yeah.
And then only for us to get there. And then they hand us questions. They're like, oh no, you're just supposed to ask these two questions. I was pissed.
Because Joseph used to have...
We printed out cards. We had like at least 10 questions to pick from. I remember Siwa's manager came in and she was like, can I see the questions, please?
Yeah.
She's not doing this. Just this. I was like, it was crazy.
Yeah. Because Joseph usually has something like a Christmas party on the 26th. And he was hosting, like, he's the host of the party anyway. So we were there, his friends. And then every 30 minutes, I sit him down, like, we need to study this. You need to do this.
Link. Did you know this about this person?
I had a presentation. And he wasn't having it, but I was like, bro, the next day is the thing. And then we got there, and I think years of experience just kicked in. Because
I mean, yeah, just
yeah.
I'm a seasoned professional.
yeah.
Listen, it was so good. So they hired like a Nigerian production team, right?
Yes.
And we're like, we want to take you back to Lagos with us. I said, take me.
so hype. Hype saw what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was
whose turn is it?
It's your turn.
If we didn't do the podcast, what creative venture would you think would occupy your time?
What creative venture would occupy my time? For me, I think my life on earth is just to tell stories.
Wow.
No.
So deep. My life on, okay. Like a Golden Globes Emmy Award acceptance. So deep. Come on, what's your purpose in life?
Yeah, truly, I feel like my life on earth, my purpose is to tell stories. And it's through different mediums. Mm-hmm. So we became friends because I was writing
Quick Finance stories
on BlackBerry.
Oh no, WordPress.
WordPress, but I would share it on BlackBerry.
Yeah.
And for me, I felt like Quick Finance's side of the story had dominated. So I was telling the story through Okonoriya's, point of view. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would paint the full picture and how she would view some of these interesting, laws and stories. Mm-hmm. So that was my perspective. Then onto, my documentary.
The disability one. Did you know we even did a short film that never came out?
Yes, we did. That is still somewhere, but we'll never see the light of day. Yeah. So I've always felt like I want to tell stories, and doesn't always have to be fictional. Sometimes it could be real life, it could be whatever. But through different mediums. So once I was done with the writing aspect, I moved on to documentary. Then we became friends, and then we started, the podcasting. Yeah. So for me, it's always going to be me telling stories, but through different mediums.
It would have been another medium,
but definitely telling stories. And right now I feel like we are documenting Ghanaian pop culture.
Oh yes.
Yes.
People will be citing us in their thesis in 20 years time.
Because our approach has always been to celebrate the people we have on this couch.
Where else will you get like a receptacle where you can go and listen to what people think how long a man should last in bed in 2017?
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine? You're like, oh my God, this is what they thought?
That's not all we are about. We've had greats like,
saying, it's one of the things. Like,
we've had Ifya in our couch. We've had Ajiti Anand. We've had Miss Bell. And for us, the line of questioning is always starting from where you began as someone who has contributed to pop culture to what you're doing now. So 30, 50 years from now, anyone can check out the Sincerely Accra episode and be able to tell that, so this is how Ajiti Anand started his career.
It's always such a pinch me moment, like, because these are people that, like, when I was a child, I was listening to Ms. Bell, idolizing Pusha and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And like, I've interviewed them.
Actually, and he sometimes I feel like it doesn't hit you.
Oh, it hits me. I just don't show it. I like to flex.
You distress me, fast.
Hi, Ajite. What's up? Okay, cool.
Oh, good. But I love the fact that we've always taken the approach of these people,
like, get to know them.
Yeah, get to know them. Yeah,
you know.
And what? I mean, you adding the flair. You adding the flair of, oh, it's like two friends talking. That approach has, I think, it makes them feel very comfortable, because we've always had inside scoops that sometimes they don't even realize they are saying, but they end up telling us things that, you know, never, they would never say out there. Example, Kiddy, when he said he started learning production because of Kwame Eugene.
Yeah, that
went viral. I was like, oh, you know.
Oh my God.
You know, Pusha, and then him.
Even the bandana thing, yeah, being the a bandana mistake. Thing,
you know.
Yeah,
so, cool you know, I'm happy about that, honestly.
We Stay Real is more than just a slogan. It is a promise. At Fika Tea House, we use fresh ingredients, from farm to straw boba, real fruit to house-made syrups, loose leaf tea, and real milk. No preservatives, no nasties. Just pure natural deliciousness in every sip. Besties, we are more than just amazing bubble tea. The Fika Tea House is a place to connect with friends, enjoy your finger-licking snacks, and a serene green space. So immerse yourself in the ultimate bubble tea experience. Open your favorite apps, ride sharing, or menu finder delivery app, and enter Fika Tea House, F-I-K-A Tea House, you can spell it, to get directions, order a ride, or have your new favorite bubble tea and snacks delivered straight to you. Fika Tea House, we stay real.
Is it my turn or your turn?
My turn.
Okay.
What typically inspires your work ethic? Because, guys, this boy, he doesn't sleep.
Oh, that's pretty simple. Beyonce.
You can't just say Beyonce. Not everybody.
No, because let me tell you something. So,
yeah.
When I was in HSC, there was a documentary that Beyonce did. I think it was the year of four. And at the end of it, I was looking at the credits and I saw that a majority of the footage, she shot it herself with her MacBook. Because I think it like kind of like broke the fourth wall for me, because I used to think of like videos and documentaries as these like big productions where you have like these heavy machinery following you around. But I was like, it's just hair. And that was also like the first time that, I mean, I used to watch MTV behind the scenes of making videos and things like that, but they never really centered how much work she put in in those kind of setups. But when she started telling her own story, like how she's involved in everything and everything, you know, and that's the thing. A lot of times when I say like I'm a part of the Hive or whatever, people always make it so superficial. Like I learn a lot from her work ethic, like how she approaches like the presentation of her art and all of those kind of things. And so it's always about getting the work done. I actually hate excuses. Like you know, sometimes I'll be like, I'll be sick and I never tell you.
Then
you'll be like, oh, why did that take longer than you? I'll be like, oh, because I was sick. I just didn't want to. I don't like those excuses, you know. I'd much rather like be dead and they'll say, which sad events happened whilst he was trying to work. Try to put out some good shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, like I just feel like you know, and people always say, oh, Beyonce has the same 24 hours in a day with a lot of assistance. Yeah, but still, yeah. I thought about it and I was like, as a human being, you have a lot of downtime.
You do.
So I'm like me, anytime I'm not doing anything, or maybe like I'm in between doing stuff and I have to do interview questions or whatever, I like open my notes up and I'm quickly like working until now I have to go and do something else. So yeah, it's just mostly Beyonce. And you know what? In another, my mother, because my mother has also like juggled a lot of things and I've seen that. So yeah.
So at what point do you take time to rest?
To rest when we go on break, but here we are. We're supposed to be on break.
No, but on a more serious note, because sometimes I actually do worry.
Oh, I mean, I do. Listen, I do parts like, you know, I go on trips, you know. Oh no, but I have slowed down considerably. Trust me. Like, you know, I started my YouTube show Tabled. The idea was supposed to come out every, like, now I'm just like, I'm too tired. I'll put out the next episode when I'm ready. So yeah, I think I have definitely slowed down now.
Okay.
Because I prioritize rest. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is like when I come in, like sometimes like maybe things are not ready at the studio, I'm like, Kofi, you're wasting my 30 minutes. I want to go home and
now sleep. Kofi being dragged into this conversation. Oh, yeah, and Kofi has the headphones right here. He's looking at
me. Yeah, he's listening to me. I'm talking to you. Yeah. Oh, no, but I do prioritize rest more, you know. Okay. We're of a particular age.
Okay.
That's all right, good. It's my turn. What is your editing process like? How long does it take you to edit one episode? Because for me, it's just going to the wardrobe. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a video, whatever, I come here, mm-hmm. I'm done, I send it. Unless you have re-record requests. But like how, because you add sound bites. Mm-hmm. And also like when you have to mix the vox pops. Because mm-hmm. I realize when you arrange them to tell a story. Yeah. And then you have music. And yeah, how long does it take you?
It depends. It's easier for me to edit and produce long form interviews. Because with that one, you're just listening and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and typically because pre-production, we've already set the questions and we know how the flow will be. Once I get into edit mode, it's easy. I know, okay, this question didn't work. Let me take this out. This answer was iffy. Let me do this. Let me do that. The difficult aspect of working on a podcast is the vox pops.
Mm.
Because, yes, I don't just put vox pops together. I'm quite anal about it. It's down to a science. Like, it has to tell a story. It has to be interesting. It has to flow. It has to feel like the way you listen to music, you know, there's a bridge, there's this, there's that. That's how I want our vox pops to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So usually what I do is when you send the vox pops in, I listen to everything because Joseph will be on my neck. Make sure you listen, though, because if you ask me to go for more.
I mean, because you have to, sometimes you'll be at work on a Tuesday and he's like, oh, I didn't like the responses. Can you get me some this evening on a Tuesday night?
I mean, the work is the work.
You know, like, listen when it comes in so that I know when I have to go out again. Because right now, I don't like going anywhere.
Well, but yeah.
Which is so funny because Kofi Graham is here. And I remember we had this conversation. He told me that, look, he has stopped going out. And I remember back now, I was thinking, he's old.
Yeah. Now look at you.
Bruh, like when you invite me out, you worried me.
Mm. I mean, particular age. But yeah, once you send them in, I listen to everything and then try and pick the interesting responses out. Then once all is done, I separate them into boys and girls. And for us on this podcast, we always make sure that
his gender balance. Oh my God. We don't have enough female voices. Go back and talk to the women.
Yes. It's very important. Gender balance and everything in between. It's very important.
I'm here for it though. Affirmative action. That's what it means, right? More women.
How did we get here?
Listen, I used to teach, seriously.
Now you're trying to convince them.
It's a brain fart. No, like, what's affirmative action, guys?
Oh, goodness. But yeah, I always make sure it's...
Deadass, tell me, what is affirmative action?
Affirmative action is making sure that there's gender equity, I believe.
So I was right.
Hey, am I wrong?
Oh, not him not knowing, Denzel.
Hey, production, you know what?
Move on. He's about to move on.
Anyway, make sure that both men and women are
balanced
out. And for us, you know, we also make sure that every person is represented, you know, across spectrums as well.
Diversity.
Yeah. So once that is done, then I start arranging, you know, okay, what's the theme that this group of people are trying to put forward? What's the theme that that group of people are trying to put forward? Then I arrange them and yeah. Try and find music. So interestingly, for the past 8 seasons, we have played 90% Ghanaian music. And for me, from day one, that was very intentional for me. I wanted to prove a point that Ghanaian radio, Ghanaian new media can use just Ghanaian music without ever having to tap into, you know, other countries, and we will still be good.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been very important for me and has continued through all 8 seasons and will continue into this season as well.
I think it's a point where you let them know your email account so they can stop DMing me.
Guys, just check our socials
out. Email him your music. Everybody, like, in my DMs, oh, can you play my song? I'm like, sure, just email this guy.
So yeah, I typically pick songs that match the theme. So sometimes people would hit me and say, oh, the song you picked here, this, I've never heard it, but it kind of works with what.
Yeah, I've discovered really good songs. Yeah.
Thank you.
And also let them know it has to be good.
Guys. Don't,
some of you, like you said, let it be good songs. The fact that you said doesn't mean it's going to get played.
Facts. Yeah.
Let them know.
For us, all upcoming artists, or they said, I shouldn't say upcoming artists.
What's the new name?
I don't know. What did Cube say? What did Q say?
I don't remember.
Emerging artists?
Emerging, yes. Emerging.
So all the emerging artists, please, sincerely, Accra, I don't need your money. Just send your music. If it's good, we'll play it. This is not traditional radio where you have to
good
pay by
being what we define as good. Not your friend said it's good, so you sent it.
Yeah.
No, so you'll be walking around with no taste.
Please send your music. It's very important. Yeah. So, oh, and we've had artists who have become like family to us because every time they release, they send their music. Wolasi, 99 Phases.
Muffy,
Yeah, Muffy. So many artists, yeah.
Reynolds.
Yeah.
Is it your turn or mine?
I think it's my turn.
By the way, we have three more questions. For anybody that's listening and wondering, why would they shut up? Just three more questions.
Okay, this is a random question. Okay. Why Fufu? I mean, you know, Fufu.
Why not Fufu? What Fufu? The hell?
No, Fufu is nice and all, but like, what's the obsession?
Okay.
Because, so, you know.
At a point, I used to live with my dad. Mm-hmm. No cap. My dad eats Fufu every day. Mm. Monday to Sunday.
Why now?
There's a reason why my palms are hard, guys. I used to pound the fufu all the time. And I remember when I moved back to my mom's house, she was so upset. So she used to put shea butter and sugar in my hand and just say, rub, rub.
she's trying to get their hands back.
Like, but yeah. No, and I think I appreciate it because of the soup. The soup is everything. And another thing is like, when you start working and like you're thinking of what to eat for lunch, it's a hustle. It's a hustle because, like, if you're going to eat wache, the pepper can mess you up. Mm-hmm. You're going to buy rice and stew. Like, you know what? Mm-hmm. You can never miss with fufu and light soup. Like, that's the basic because you don't eat groundnut soup just anywhere, guys. That's a tip. So fufu and light soup. No, fufu is everything. What are you talking about?
No, but.
But what?
Okay, well.
Like, what should I eat instead of fufu?
No,
what should
I obsess an obsession.
Over? What should I obsess over? Tell me.
Ghanaian food, there's banku and okro, there's. Okay, moving away from the rices, there's what.
What do you obsess over? Which food do you obsess over?
I love banku and okro, actually. Okro stew, not the soup. I hate okro soup. I love okra stew. And fun fact, I hate boiled yam, but I love fried yam.
You don't have taste.
Wow.
What? Boiled yam?
I hate it.
Oh.
It's a trauma response, so.
I didn't eat my yam. Did somebody throw boiled yam at you? No.
So, when I was younger, right, I went to a friend's house. And, you know, Ghanaian hospitality, they served us and it was water yam. I'd never had water yam before. So in my mind, the yam looked kind of translucent. I was like, oh, maybe it's fresh yam. You know, plus the abomu was looking nice.
I said translucent.
Please. I have a Bachelor of Arts in English.
Talk about it.
So,
do you put like flexing on this podcast?
Like, you know.
Oh, I know. Self-acclaimed.
That's all.
So the water yam traumatized you.
Hey, it was nasty.
Yeah, that one is nasty.
It was nasty. And since then, when I see boiled yam, I'm like, yeah, no. Yeah, it's not for me.
You're missing out. Ugh. It's your turn, by the way.
Okay, so now
avoid
the question.
Chaos. Avoid
the
chaos.
The question you wanted to, I'll ask it. Okay, so a lot of people didn't know this, but from 2019 to 2021, Joseph and I weren't talking. Yes. I mean, hey, let's get into it.
Was it 2 years?
It was 2 years.
That's crazy.
We didn't talk for 2 years. And
but we're still producing the show, though.
We're still producing the show. The way we'll talk was through email or through Cyril. Yes. Cyril in the room with us?
It was
chaotic.
It was a very interesting time. And very formal language.
Very, very formal. And jeez. I honestly, for some reason, I thought you would quit. So I'm wondering, like, what made you stay on? Because we weren't talking. We never spoke.
What made I stay on? Mm-hmm. I'm a bad bitch. You can't kill me. I'm like, what? You can't kill me. No, like, the thing is, I understood the importance of the show that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that I, no matter what age, I've always had a certain level of maturity to see the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Plus, I followed pop culture so long. I've seen how ego has ruined a lot of things. Yeah. You know, there are so many groups and things that have disbanded because one person thought they could go out and do it on their own. And, you know, but yeah, no, but also, you know, most of what happened, you know, was my fault. And so I took full responsibility for that. It was just a situation where Kwame didn't want to accept the apology. And so he was being a bad bitch. And I was like, well, cool, real recognize real, but I'm going to be here. Because Loki, I felt like he thought, like, I'll say I don't do it, and I'll go and try and do it with somebody else. And honestly, ain't nobody gonna do it like Kwame. And if I go and do it in the flops, that's a stain on me. So I was like, yeah, send the email. I'll reply back with my formal language. Nobody was crazy, though. It was Kwame, crazy. You are petty, Jesus.
No, I.
So fucking. Like, when I go, he sent me a random message, and it's like, wait, 10:30. He was like, I wanna let bygones. The way I rolled my eyes.
I, no, like, I called you.
Oh, you called me? Yeah, yeah. No, you send a message first.
Did I?
Yes, you sent a message. Some long ass text message.
Did I?
Yes.
It was a phone call. No. It was a phone call first.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was a phone call first.
Okay, well, there was a text. Something like, oh, like, when can you take a call or whatever?
Yeah.
And I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
And when he picked up, he was like, he mentioned a random name. I was like,
really? Yeah. That's not, like, true.
Yes, you did.
I,
you
have your number saved. Why would I mention a random name?
You mentioned someone's name. And I was like, no, this is Kwame. Like,
did you call me? Like, were you in Ghana when you called me?
Yeah, I was in Ghana.
Okay. Then I didn't have his Ghana number. Because one, if you're not his friend, you wouldn't know when he's coming to Ghana. No. You know when he's leaving.
No.
It was a lot.
Yeah. But hey, we talked it out and here we are.
Yeah.
Thick as thieves. Now I'm the fancy one. Anyway, yeah.
It was a lot, guys. Like, can you imagine doing a show with somebody for 2 years who's not talking to you?
He's triggered.
But it was my fault, so I'm just going to let it be.
I mean, there was Cyril. Oh, Cyril was.
Cyril became like that third person.
Yo.
Go ahead and tell Cyril to come and tell me. Then I have to. Oh.
Hey.
Anyway, my next question.
Yeah.
All right. So who among these three artists would still be relevant if they never stopped music? Mm-hmm. Lord Kenya, Kunti Henne, and Asem.
Why are you asking me this question?
Why aren't you like the music person? Who would still be relevant? Like, think about it.
This is a solid question.
The time
question.
When these guys were making music, who was making music then and is still making music now? Would you say Samini?
Samini is still making music. But the three names you mentioned, these are great names.
Yes. Kunti Henne and Lord Kenya were kind of before Asem.
True. But Asem, now, let me get into this.
Oh my God. Come on, quick breakdown.
You've triggered me. It's a very difficult question because Lord Kenya's contribution to rap in Ghana is like he changed the scene. Kunti Henne was one of the youngest people to ever receive
Artist of the Year
under Ghana Music
Awards.
Was
he like 19?
I think so. He was very young. And Asem was one. When Asem came into the system, infrared and Bluetooth sharing had become a thing. So that is how he marketed his music.
Why not infrared?
Yes.
Can you imagine? Guys, there was a time when we used to have to send,
your phones are together.
They don't know.
And then you have to share.
You have to put your phone together.
Yeah. So Asem revolutionized like how, you know, you could market your music because he was the first artist who was using Bluetooth to actually distribute his music for free across phones.
But even his sound
was different. And every year he would do like a look back, year in the review.
Yes, you remember he used to do those things with his music where he would be very playful with the year. Oh my God.
Yeah. So.
So who would be still relevant?
I can't in good faith pick.
Really?
Yeah. All three of them are great. I know recently, about 3 years ago, Asem tried to revive his career. That didn't really go well.
Hey, don't let him hear you.
I mean,
I'll hear this song. I'm out.
But even for him, I feel like you know, it was just spur of the moment. He should have just rested. But still,
You gotta pick.
If I have to really, 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 really pick, I'll go with Lord Kenya.
Really?
Yes. Lord Kenya's sound is undefeated. Lord Kenya made rap in a way that felt like pop music. You know, mm-hmm. Enyomono, Sikaba. Remember when I mixed Sikaba with Material Girl?
Yeah. Let me tell you, he was dying. I feel like if you're not somebody that like appreciates music, knows, and also like you'll be listening to the podcast and just like being like, oh yeah, like do you know how crazy that was? Sikaba, Material Girl. Yeah. Like,
I mean,
they don't get it. They don't get it. But I think that I think it would have been Kunti Henne.
Why?
I just think that the kind of music that he made and the way that he made it, he would easily adapt to today's sounds.
Well.
I just feel like Lord Kenya is great, but I can see him having the same, like, you know how Obrafo is not making music anymore?
Well,
because if Obrafo is to put out, I don't know. Yeah, I think continue.
I mean, I see what you're saying. I still stick to Lord Kenya just because, you know, music taste. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I see it.
Yeah.
I see it.
That's my answer. What are your answers? Tell us.
Let us know. Sincerely Accra on all platforms.
Yeah. Also, this question is like targeted at people of a certain age. So.
Yeah. All right. So my next question, how do you handle the fame? Because, oh, yes.
What fame?
Oh, yes.
Boy.
Oh, yes. Because, I mean, I'm not here. You know, people know of me, but they don't know me. But you are here representing the two of us all the time. So then it's like, this is a great podcast. It's number one in the country. It's Josephine T behind, you know, in front of the camera all the time. There's a Kwame Asante somewhere, but he's never in the picture. He's just doing production and background work. How do you handle that pressure of...
I think, first of all, I don't think I'm famous.
But you are.
I don't live my life like a famous person.
Okay.
I stand and watch EQs. Some light went off. I stand and watch EQs. I go and eat fufu at a choba in Makola. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm famous. So, I can't even answer the question properly because, like, I'm not handling fame.
Yeah, just cruising. You know what
I
mean?
I think... If anything at all, like when if I go out and, you know, it's certain events. So certain events, like if you go to certain events, oh my God, then you're going to have a lot of like, oh my God, Josephine T. Da, 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 da. But like I said, I'm a seasoned professional. So like, I always know how to receive it because I know what it feels like to meet somebody that maybe like you look up to, you listen to, or you enjoy. And I know the experience I wouldn't want to have. So regardless of whatever is going on, you always have to turn on a smile and engage them. I think one of the most important things I always do is ask them what their name is.
Okay.
Yeah. So at least they feel seen and heard. Like, what's your name? Oh, okay. How long have you listened to the podcast? Work. If I remember your name, I'll give you a shout out. On a good day, I'll pull my phone out and write the name and then give them a shout out. But yeah, I honestly, I don't think I'm famous. I think even famous is like a wrong word to use.
Okay. So what word would you use?
I'm slightly popular. I'm slightly popular. Yeah. Like, guys, I'm not even verified on any of the social media platforms.
Which is a mistake.
Which is a mistake. I mean, why are we supposed to verify me?
There's the
offshoots. You have to buy it now.
Yeah.
And you know how I feel about that?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like buying swag.
Facts.
I'm sorry. Like, if you're not a known celebrity, you have a badge. I look at you like that.
I mean, let's not get into that. No,
get into it.
I was going to say on X, people are buying it because they want to tap into monetizing. So they intentionally, now people intentionally bait rage.
Like I can
you can monetize.
I can spot a tweet that is farming, like looking for engagement.
Yeah.
I can spot it.
Yeah.
It's so easy. And people fall into the trap all the time.
Easy.
Right now, it's even easy because they always have that stake thing in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah. So to answer your question, I don't handle it. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're next?
Oh, yeah. Okay, this is the last one. What do you want people to understand about you as a person who produces the show?
I'm very particular about how I do things.
Perfectionist.
Your words, not mine. I said I'm particular. When you listen to the podcast, just know that everything you hear, at least on the audio side, is very intentional. From how Joseph introduces his one-liners to the particular music we use, down to everything, how it's produced, everything is very intentional. Every episode is unique. I remember...
Unique? Sorry, go on.
Oh, God. The day you meet Beyonce.
Well, technically, I've been in the same airspace as her, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, everything is very, very intentional. So when you listen to the podcast, listen to it with intentionality. Sometimes I drop gems in there. I like it when people discover these gems.
Yeah.
Like why I put them there and the references and whatnot. So yeah, I'm very particular. I guess that's what I want people to understand about me.
In as much as you put the gems there, just accept that it's always going to be like a very small group of people who are going to, you know.
I mean, it's like looking for Easter eggs. Some people like that, you know. Yeah, so anyway.
So your last question.
My last
Finally,
question.
My God, this felt like a therapy session, y'all.
I have some question here, but I'll ask it. I'll ask it.
Avoid chaos. Thank you.
Okay. What do you think the future of our podcast looks like? Avoided chaos.
I don't think about the future of our podcast. No, I'm lying. I don't know, honestly. I've thought about it and when I'm thinking about like life changing decisions, like maybe, oh, do I want to like relocate? Do I want to go and study? Like every time I think about that, then I'm like, oh, okay. So then what angle will the podcast take on? And then I give it an answer based on what I'm thinking of doing at the time. But I don't know. So you know, I listen to The Read and they've been going on for like, I think 12 years or 13 years. Yeah, 13 years. Once I thought about it, I was like, how corny will I sound in my 40s doing this show? Because I'm still going to talk about young people things. And I don't want to like come across as like Joe Budden. You know what I mean? Wow. Hating on young people is like, I don't know. I just feel like.
Don't come for us, Joe Budden. We don't have your budget.
Oh, Joe Budden most certainly doesn't listen to this. Well, I don't think
you
so.
You never know.
But I just feel like if ever. I'm like, we are discussing like topics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm too old to be talking about this. I'd be like, Kwame, I quit.
But I mean,
I swear, like, you know, and I think it's one of the reasons why I don't push for Vox Pops, because I'm also at a stage where I'm like, how do I look like going to certain events at least my age? And I'll be like asking questions like, hey, tell me something that you like in the bedroom. What? You know, the time that we live is very predatory.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I know is, if ever I feel like you're too big for this, you are too grown for this. This is just to show that, like, I don't have a serious answer for this, but I think if it's going to go on for as long as it's culturally relevant.
Yeah,
that's what I will say.
Yeah. That's a good answer.
Me, I'm not very big on competition. I don't see anybody as a threat. It's so funny, all the times like people are always trying to like pit us against one or two podcasts. I've always said, if there are people doing things, the more of us in the space creates an ecosystem. When there's an ecosystem, that's when you can see you have an industry.
Yeah.
But like having one great podcast does not make an industry.
Yeah.
So I see a lot of young people have started podcasts. Oh my God, am I aging myself? I'm also young. But a lot of people have started podcasts, and it's different angles, different POVs. And there will come a time where I feel like the space that we occupy, in that we're like being culturally different, you know, telling the real stories of like the artists, the POV that we bring up. When I do feel like there are people that are doing it and doing it well, I would definitely have that conversation with you, because the thing I'm talking about topics, we can always like, you know, pivot to something else. Like maybe when we're in our 40s, we can start talking about what it's like raising children in like social media era, you know. You listen to that, those two white women, I've had it.
No, I haven't.
I listen to them. And like, it's so interesting because they talk about like, one of them has a divorce under her belt. So she's always talking about like when she was married and she's always dissing her husband. Yeah. I mean, like the stage in life that we are at, we can always pivot. But if I feel like, you know, we're no longer culturally relevant, because I learned something from Issa Rae and the last season of Insecure. Always leave when the applause is the loudest. I don't want us to get to a point where like it's corny and people are like, what happens to the earlier crowd? They fell off. It's not gonna be as, it's gonna be like, bring back Sincerely Cry. And I'll be like, no, darling.
No, but it's yes, culturally relevant is the right word. I think with us, that's something that is a part of our DNA. We've always made sure that the topics we address, even the angles we address them from, is always different and always impactful. And I mean, with your brain and my brain always in sync, I think that would remain so. But as we've grown, not to age us, as we've grown, the podcast has evolved. You know, it has evolved where we started from.
We didn't even used to do interviews, remember? Yes, and then,
you know, and where we are heading to, we've grown. And our listeners have grown with us as well. So it's just a matter of, you know, two crazy creatives who are just having fun on a podcast and, you know, pulling, you know, a couple of people along. So that's how I see it. And until we get tired of pulling like these listeners along, I think we're going to exist. It might be in different ways, but you still hear this crazy voice and you still experience this crazy.
Say crazy one more time.
Crazy.
No, that was supposed to be a threat. Oh, gosh. I need to practice how to be more threatening.
But yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, cool. All too soon.
We have come.
Yeah, guys. That's our episode. Thank you guys for listening, I guess. There's no shout outs on this one. So, but
Oh, no. Oh, shout out to GCR.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Shout out GCR. Yeah.
Wow. No, Cyril is in the room.
We shout out GCR at the end of every episode.
This is the end.
Okay, I was getting to it.
This is the end.
Which song is that?
Adele, Skyfall.
That was off key.
Wow.
Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. You know what it is? You finally had over an hour of Kwame Asante. You know, what he sounds like, how he thinks, and what I'm dealing with. But always know I'm not the villain in the story.
You are.
I'm not. He's the one that hasn't given you guys your playlist.
It's never going to happen, guys. Exactly. Look at me. It's never
going to
happen.
Who's evil here? Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. We love you for listening. Stick and stay for another how many long years that we've got under our belt. A quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report, of course, the GCR network that's held us down since 2017 when they made us send a proposal.
Charlie.
Of what we wanted to, like.
Sarah was like, yeah, I don't care who you are, just send a proposal.
Can you imagine?
Charlie.
We'll get back to you. Boy, you know as soon as you're ready, you know it was a go. Talk about we'll get back to you.
Yo, like, how long did it take for him to get back?
I think it was like a week or two.
Hey, Cyril.
Cyril, do you remember how many times? Yeah. And the whole time I was like, yeah, right, nigga. What do you mean? Like, what are you considering?
We are now your favorite kids.
Don't say that.
I mean, are we not?
I don't know.
We are.
Hey, ATW, shout out to you. But anyway, shout out to Kofi, our studio manager, Denzel, production lead producer, executive producer, head of production. And everybody else, I had fun.
Hey,
and
Little.
Of course,
shout out to Little.
Shout out to Little. Oh my God. Yeah, shout out to Little. Our camera. What is the right title? Video graph camera? executive filmer. Thank you so much.
Yes, you realize all these titles he's mentioning them. I've just kept quiet. I'm just watching them.
What, like, honestly, dude. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe this is it's time for y'all to have a teleprompter. Come on, GCR, get me a teleprompter. That will complete my Wendy Williams fantasy. But anyway, yeah, yeah. And of course, the final shout out goes to Kwame Asante Ofori, who is right here. Yeah, sticking his thing for 8 years. Is it eight? Or, it's eight.
It's nine. This is a ninth season.
No, but a year's.
8 years, yeah. This is the 8th year.
Ah, yeah, 8 years. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Oh, anyway, we'll catch you on another one. Make sure you're always checking for us because it's a good time. No, it's always. Oh, let me do it again. make sure you catch us on the next episode because it's always a good time on the Sincerely Accra podcast. I love you. Thanks for listening.
Push me, I be tryna make money with the broskies. Belisa, Steffy, I said no phone calls, don't vex me. They can't do it like us. Us when I'm moving mad. When they see me, they pass. Trust me, when they see me, they pass. She say you are welcome. I no come, you no come, how come? She the goose more than welcome. Damn, chini womb, and then what's the sauce? Allow me to feel like it. Smoke them like cigarettes. Big bam bam cigarettes. Allow me to feel like it. Allow me to feel like it. Smoke them like cigarettes. Big bam bam cigarettes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me chimani yo, me chimani yo, me chimani. This is a politician. Mujan true, mujan true, mujan true. This is a politician. We just blow, we got a job. Man's too cool. Water blocks, South London dudes. Lap black, send me off a pay tax. I miss it, what for? See me girl in bad. Some of us thought that some new fraud. We have a red sign, do not cross. We don't sleep, it's a full night for us. Yeah. So we just go for the millions. Once see me dog, them rich in a trillions. We know the real fear friends and the silly ones. I'm not a mansion thief, I go for the bully van. Anytime we tap in a Trinidad, the girl make me feel big like a genie god. Have you ever seen a Christian? It's not a believer. Check the demon now. Allow me to feel like it. Smoke them like cigarettes. Big bam bam cigarettes. Allow me to feel like it. Allow me to feel like it. Smoke them like cigarettes. Big bam bam cigarettes. London boy, God in my blood. Got the girl, yeah, she like the way she on top. Get the money, stack the money, get it on stop. Get the paper, yeah, that be the answer. Rapa pampa, miss it, rapa pampa. Make me feel hairy, roll up the ganja. Take body girl, make you shake your body girl. Big breast, big thighs, it be my medicine. Yeah, check the saga, tell me what you rather. Tell you, I don't ever leave you, mad, you want the Prada. Yeah, they call me Yaya, or they call me Father. Me, I want the whole new, yeah, I want the platter. Allow me to feel like it. Smoke them like cigarettes. Big bam bam cigarettes. Allow me to feel like it. Allow me to feel like it. Smoke them like cigarettes. Big bam bam cigarettes.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.